All right, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. I'm Crystal. I'm the Hot Widow of Eric. With me tonight, I have the beautiful Allie, who's dressed head to toe in the cutest pink sweatsuit you've ever seen. She's the Hot Widow of Ross.
Hello.
And very, very special guest this evening, we have Lindsay, who is the Hot Widow of Justin and the current spouse of John.
Hello.
Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, happy to be here.
We are so excited to have you as a part of the Hot Widows Club podcast. With us, we also have a sweet little dude named Ben, who's only, what, 2 months?
Yeah, he's number four, so that sounds close.
Right. Yeah, so in the widowhood, I mean, you have no choice, right? You need to do something. Just do what you do, right?
Yes,
so.
Lindsay is multitasking at her finest, breastfeeding and recording a podcast. Absolutely. Amazing.
Very proud of you, Lindsay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So yes. Before we get too started tonight, I'm going to just take a few minutes to introduce Lindsay and how she came into our life. So Allie introduced me to Lindsay, and I'm going to turn over to Allie here to kind of share the story of how Lindsay came into Allie's life and then a part of mine.
Sure. Okay. So a backstory, Lindsay and I went to high school together, Marion High School, shout out. And so I wasn't close friends with Lindsay in high school, but we had a mutual friend, Renee, who we are both very close to.
Hip hop extraordinaire.
Yes. Did you hear we're doing hip hop?
Oh, I did.
Yes. So Lindsay and I would hang out with Renee, like just mutual friends. And I followed Lindsay, of course, on Facebook. And I remember seeing her posts about John. Justin.
I was going to say that in the very beginning. We probably need to disclaimer. Yeah. Like people at home could play a drinking game of how many times we slip up.
Yes.
Because if you are a widower and you're thinking of going into dating, I would maybe advise you not to consider people that have the same
initial.
Yes.
I just did it.
Yeah. It's very easy.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I bet.
Good advice.
Yeah.
First advice of the night.
Yeah. Right.
Here we
go.
Anyway, so she posted Justin's journey on social media. And so I was following along this whole time. And just the craziest thing is that Justin passed away in, was it March?
April
yeah. of 2019.
Wow.
And I will never forget when you posted about it and my heart just sank. And I immediately went to, I don't know how Lindsay could do this. Like, I just cannot even imagine. And if you know Lindsay is like the most upbeat, special human I've ever met. Just always happy. Like, just comes across as like, you own this world. And I admire that so much. Your strength. Through this whole journey, I felt like I was with you, even though I wasn't. But I just admired your strength. So fast forward 2 weeks after Justin passed away, Ross was diagnosed. And the first person I contacted before I even told Renee was Lindsay. She just immediately popped in my head because of the strength that she exuberates. And I want to be like Lindsay. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And so I contacted her and I told her what was going on. And she's literally 2 weeks into her widowhood journey and just wraps her arms around me and is like, you got this. You can do this. And has been with me since that day. So
and you are doing it and you're doing it well.
Thank you.
You don't feel it.
No, I don't. But so, that's the backstory on Lindsay. And I hope you all, you will know how special Lindsay is after talking to her tonight.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
You will. So Allie tells me as soon as she meets me, she starts telling me about Lindsay. So our first meeting, a couple things transpired. We met kids. Allie said, do you want to do a podcast? We fell in love. And then she said, you got to meet my friend Lindsay. So she talked a lot about Lindsay and like all the advice that you'd given her. And she's repeating it back to me, like on how to support me. And then over Christmas, I remember you're like, we're going to have a widow night at my house. And invited me over and I got a chance to meet Lindsay and it was just instant. Like I met her, she said hello and I was like, this is one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. It was an instant connection. She made me feel like I'd known her whole life. She just sent tons of resources afterwards. She's like, do this.
And
I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so wonderful. I think I had just gotten home from California.
Okay.
And came that night. I came from a work trip and I walked in and remember I was like, Allie, like I'm done. I'm never going to work again. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to quit my big, professional, wonderful, amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be a teacher because that's the schedule I want.
Yes. And Lindsay was like, do it. This is how you do it. And like Lindsay laid out how to do it.
Lindsay goes, you'll be fine. She goes, I don't even have to know you to know you that you can do anything you want. You'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I think we redid your bedroom that night too. And we started planning.
Yes.
We started planning Allie's reno. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My bedroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So flash forward, I'm not a teacher, nor am I going to be a teacher. That was a very interesting time in my life. Very few people knew that I was going to, like, I was even considering this. But the few that do know now are like, remember when you had that stupid ass idea to be a teacher? You would be the worst teacher in the world. I have no patience for any ever over anything or anyone. I have no patience, so. Anyways, still working where I work today, very happily, thank you. But Lindsay is here tonight to join us. So Lindsay gave so much good advice, which I want to come back to when we start talking about Lindsay's journey. Mm-hmm. But I want to share something really funny that happened to Allie and I this week.
Oh dear, what? What?
So Allie and I went out Thursday night. Like we never go out. Like,
yeah, no.
We just don't do it very often. Neither of us have time. And it costs a ton of money to get sitters. And so some friends of ours were in town and wanted to go to dinner. And we're like, hey, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Let's do it. So we go to one of our favorite restaurants in Omaha, Dante's. And we have wine tasting and we eat. And it was amazing food. Dante's, you always, always freaking deliver. And
Brussels sprouts are my favorite.
Yeah. We didn't have Brussels sprouts.
We didn't. It was like a set meal.
Yeah, it was a menu.
It was a menu, yeah. Oh, you couldn't pick.
Oh, gotcha.
But it was delicious.
We do have some bomb-ass Brussels sprouts there, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bianco pizza is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so then we had decided to go to a concert, which we've been planning since the end of December, which, keep in mind, this wasn't Allie's idea. It was my harebrained idea. It was like, if you guys have heard me before, I talk about wanting to go to Buck's Bar and Grill because they have the best live music in all of Omaha. And so I was like, okay, let's plan something for January that we can look forward to. Mm-hmm. And so I bought us these concert tickets. It was a Thursday night. We're in our 30s and 40s, you know, like what grown ass people go to concerts on Thursday nights when they have to work the next day? Anyways, we go and it was fun. It is such a cool place. The music was great, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had too much whiskey. And so, well, wine and whiskey.
Yeah.
Bad combo.
It was a bad combo.
I drove.
Allie was the driver. Uh-huh. I was the drinker, which I never do. Like 9 times out of 10, I'm the driver. I just don't do that, especially on a school night.
Oh, yeah.
So we're driving and I was telling Allie some funny story about something. We didn't put that on the podcast. And so I said, Siri, take a note. And I'm trying to read. This, okay, so I got to tell you what it says.
Okay, Allie. Oh, geez.
It's amazing.
Okay.
So lots of things happened in this conversation, but the note also says, also, like it feels so weird to be in a relationship that isn't my marriage. Also, don't forget to talk about God's country. Also, Allie is hot. Also, Allie is going to learn to play the harmonica.
Yes. With your banjo.
So yeah, the band, this band is coming together.
Yeah.
Crystal on the banjo, Allie on the harmonica.
Lindsay, what can you contribute?
Yeah.
I don't have any music abilities, I don't think.
Oh yeah.
Me either. We don't know what we're doing.
So, I mean, if you can fiddle.
You can sing. How about you sing?
Oh. I mean, my kindergartners don't think I'm terrible. I can't sing, but you know, maybe you if we join. Just play for, you know, an audience such as 5-year-olds, then
there we go.
It'll be okay.
We can do that.
I mean, the goal is to play somewhere where I don't have to cover my crotch with my banjo. So anyways, that was my funny note. I went back and looked at that like the next day and I was just like, my gosh, we are grown ass women. We should be more responsible than that. But
oh, you only live once. I don't know. It's okay.
I mean, we were being responsible. You were driving.
We were fine.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Do you have any updates for anybody that you want to cover before we get started with Lindsay today?
Not really. I'm really excited for this. I literally have been talking to Crystal about talking to Lindsay on the podcast since day one.
Absolutely.
True.
Lindsay has inspired me through my journey so much. Before I forget, the best piece of advice Lindsay ever gave me, and this was after Ross had passed and I was starting as my widowhood journey. She told me, say yes to as much as you can.
And I overdid that.
And I overdid it. Continue to overdo it. That was all Lindsay.
She took that very
all my fault.
Literally. Okay, so Lindsay has like this way of leaving a message with you.
Yes.
And I have one piece of Lindsay advice as well that she left with me. So we're having a conversation. It wasn't the first time we met. It was probably like the second or third time. And her girls, Lindsay, well, she'll tell you, she has two girls, and they were going through something with their journey through losing their dad. And Lindsay said, and I said to my girls, what you are going through is so much more difficult than any adult can even manage through. I'm proud of you. And it just reminded me of how to be a parent and remember that what these kids that we're raising are going through something so difficult that most adults don't even, I mean, we can't even figure it out, right?
Right.
And to think these tiny little humans are going through it while they watch their parents. And so it just always gave me perspective when Lindsay said that to me. And I was like, God, she's a good mom. Like the way she can come up with that stuff and just navigate, it's amazing. So
thank you.
You're amazing.
You are amazing. So I think, Lindsay, we would love it if you could share the cancer journey.
Okay.
How is Justin? I almost called him John again.
I know. It's tricky.
I don't know how you do it. How Justin was diagnosed and just his cancer journey and being a caretaker and maybe some backstory on your kids together. And
yeah. And I apologize for any crying baby. Of course, I forgot the binky, the one item I probably needed more than anything. So you may hear crying Ben. So yeah, Justin and I met in 2010. We actually met on Match. My good friend Bailey and I, we were both like single and we're like, yeah, let's try it after some glasses of wine. She's still mad at me because I met Justin, I think my second date.
Wow.
And she was, and then she's like, you just left me. Oh. You know, like, I thought we were going to like do this dating thing for a while, but I met him and it was, I think he was the second guy I went out with. And before I knew it, my dad was saying, what are you guys doing? Playing house, you know, because he practically had moved in. And and then we had Allie as our first. And Allie is now 8. And she surprised us with a little extra chromosome, too, and needed open heart surgery at day 5. So Justin and I, like, going through that, I feel like really brought us closer.
Yeah.
That was very unexpected. But that extra chromosome turned out to be not so scary as it is with the initial diagnosis. And she's doing amazing and everything any other second grader is doing. And then we had Lucy, surprise, got pregnant with her 15 months later. So they're practically like twins. I say it feels, people say that all the time. And they're like, twins? I'm like, feels like it. And Lucy and Allie, I mean, they couldn't have both been more daddy's girls. Lucy, you know, and always... Justin would put Lucy to bed most nights. So I would say those two had like a pretty special little bond. And then it was around, well, it would be 2018 when Justin had been having, I'll save you all the details. So Justin was diagnosed with mucosal melanoma, which is very rare. What mucosal melanoma is melanoma in the moist areas of your body. And I was going to save all the listeners from using that word, but I decided, I mean, what the reason people don't like the word moist is exactly the intention of this is that you think about all those areas and that's where you can get it. It's, I think, less than 1% of all melanomas is mucosal melanoma. And if you go down the dark hole of researching, it's very deadly. It's very aggressive and their survival rates, there's not many. So when we got that as our diagnosis, we quickly went into attack mode and trying to find the best. And because it is so rare, Omaha would have doctors that maybe have treated it, but they've maybe only treated like one patient. So we quickly went to MD Anderson to seek all of our treatment. And they have people from all over the world coming to them for that diagnosis. We found a great doctor, Dr. Glitzo, there. And, you know, as I was preparing for tonight, I was telling the girls before that I felt like I was studying for an exam. I quickly was like, I don't even know if I remember my story. It's funny how much you like, you forget. And so I went back to my Caring Bridge blog, I guess I don't know what you'd call it, Caring Bridge posts, and started reading some of them. And, you know, throughout it all, as much as it sucked and everything else, there's still like a ton of humor, a ton of great days, which I definitely have Justin to thank for that. He worked at Builder Trend, and I think he just loved using cancer as kind of like the joke of everything. He'd play basketball. They would go at lunch and play basketball in the parking lot. And I know whenever he won, he'd be like, yeah, how do you feel? I just got out of chemo last week and I still beat you. You know, like he loved like finding a way to work it in there. You know, and the fact that his mucosal melanoma was anal mucosal melanoma also opened the door for many, many jokes.
Excellent.
So that was one thing that, you know, through the journey and the trips to Houston, you know, he'd call them date nights and this is just our vacation. And which it really was like time away from our 4 and 3 year old, like in or 3 and 2 at the beginning, some toddler traumas. It was like a little vacation. So we really made it the best. And I feel like really thankful. I have Justin to thank for that because I feel like anyone going through a you know, a kind of a terminal illness or disease or and knowing that, I can't imagine how he was so positive and it allowed, you know, me to be that way too through it all. And I think that as you're caring for someone, you really follow their lead. And so I know, Allie, you've talked about how he was more private. And and so like you in turn are privater probably through it all. And so I think that I was just really thankful that he was open. It's what I needed too. So it was good. And I think from the very beginning, we knew the end of our story. Like,
It's okay.
And then I'm going to follow up with a funny because we did know the end of our story. And again, Justin was a jokester. One of his big jokes was always like, we got to get you a match. And I'm like, Justin, stop saying that. And he's like, what? Then I can like help pick the next guy. You know, like I want to be part of this process. And so that was another, you know, huge funny through it all. And just kind of our joke through it all. He's like, did you make that account yet? Did you set up your, did you pick out a profile picture? And I'm like, stop.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah,
that is so,
so
cool.
So sweet. So yeah, we, you know, did all the treatments, did the, everything we could. He was up for a trial. And that's like the one, I guess, if I'd say regret or like thing that I'm like left in my mind that I'm like, oh, if we would have made it to the trial. So his trial, he was supposed to have, he qualified for the trial that was supposed to happen in May, I believe. He ended up dying in April, 18 months after his diagnosis. But, you know, he, up until the end, we had just been at Disneyland and like he even in our last hospital stay, we went in not knowing it was going to be our last hospital stay. But, you know, through it all, he was the dictator on like I was just following his lead. And, you know, he made it really easy on me through it all, you know, up until his final days when he said, OK, today's the day I'm going to say goodbye to the girls. That was on him. And then, you know, hospice became an option at home. And it's amazing, like, until you are there with those questions and getting those answers, you don't realize, like, it's just you.
Yeah.
Home. It's not like I first envisioned hospice as like a nurse all the time. And so as we're learning about that, Justin's like, ugh, that sounds too messy. No, we're going to stay here. And I'm like, oh, thank God. But if he wanted it, like, you know, we would have done it. But because we were told it would probably be a few days. So I was just little things like that throughout it all that I'm just so thankful for him.
Yeah. He's so not to steal Lindsay's story here, but he's a veteran too. So he's sounds like he's just a true soldier. Like through and through, right?
Yes. Yep. Like, he was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. He just
did his 4 years. And yeah. So, and then that's when he came out at 28. And then when I met him, he was actually playing college soccer at 28 at Midland. And of course he tore his ACL. I'm like, this is why you're not 28 playing college soccer. Right. So, but yeah, cause he did do that service time.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to tear his ACL 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I wasn't a very good caregiver on the 3rd time.
You were done dealing with
the
dad's
by dump
that
a load
time.
Of laundry on him and in bed and be like, okay, I'm out and make sure this is folded by the time you
and stop you being get a home. Dumbass.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Because
he'd go play indoor soccer again. I'm like, what do you think's going to happen? You're not even like totally healed.
So Justin passes away, you know, tell us kind of what was that first couple of days like for you? I know we've talked about, you know, we've had people who've had so many different stories. I think the story that just keeps hitting my ear is like, it's a whirlwind. And I don't even remember what that first week is like, because so much happens during that time.
Yeah. Couple of things when you were talking that I thought of, so the first thing I kind of left out at our story that I was rereading that I wanted to make sure I said through it all was, you know, when we kept getting the dominoes coming of all the things, I read one of the posts, I told Justin, I said, God, you're so unlucky. Everything keeps happening. And he's like, make sure you know that through all of this, I would never consider myself unlucky. And so that was something that really stuck with me. And I try to, you know, as widows, I think that we're not unlucky either. Like, we're actually pretty special. We experience some things that people never will, but some people never will experience what we've experienced. But we're still really have a lot to be thankful for. And then I'm just going to cry through this whole thing.
No, so it's fine.
I'm starting to cry.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
You're amazing.
It's like, and the funny thing is my mom and I always joke is we don't really, I guess it's like a happy sad. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just a sad. I'm not good at, like, I probably won't cry at your funeral, but it's like when people are kind to me and sweet and you have like the happy side. That's what this is. I think it's a happy sad for sure.
It feels so unlucky. Like at times it feels so unlucky, but like in true Lindsay form,
I know,
she's going to remind you that you are lucky.
You are.
In so many ways.
You are.
Oh my gosh.
So those days, I was thinking about this on the way down. And it was really nice that, again, Justin, you know, I knew the last time that the girls would see him alive. So I was able to really explain that to him or to the girls. And then we spent the next couple of days in the hospital just listening to music and being together. I had his good friend with Jeremy was in town, and he went back to the house and got our comforter from our bed. So it was, you know, it just felt more like home. And all of our family, my one thing that I really did never want to be alone in the hospital. So not that anyone was necessarily with us the whole time in the room, but they would sit in the family room and wait and kind of take shifts to make sure I wasn't alone. And so through all that, one person that really sticks out that got me through those weeks is my good friend, Corey. And she's a nurse and she was at the hospital. And Justin definitely got rowdy at the end, I like to say. So I actually texted her and I was like, can you just come here? And so she was with me actually when he passed. And then she didn't leave. And I love that. She actually brought her toothbrush and her makeup and everything and kind of moved in for the first couple of weeks. And I think that, you know, family, and I don't know if I'm sure your families are all the same, but your family wants to, like, they see you hurting and they want to fix things for you and they want to do everything for you. But your friends are just there. So, you know, Corey and I at night, we would just watch TV together because, you know, my girls, we've always had stupid early bedtimes, like 6:30. And so that's a lot of hours as an adult. Like Justin and I loved it because then we got from 6:30 on together. But when you're alone, 6:30 to 10 is a lot of hours alone. So those first few weeks, Corey stayed and I didn't ask her to stay. She just did it. And it was really meant a lot, like just to have someone else there just to be with you, not like trying to do things for you and fix and try to take away your pain, because that wasn't realistic. That wasn't going to go away. I remember, because choking through it all has always helped me too. I remember watching a TV show with Corey and somebody had died in the TV show. And I was like, they didn't even really make him look dead. Like, I think that's another part of it. Like, through all of this, that like, you got to find humor. Like, because, I mean, we're so lucky that we got to see what a real dead person looks like, right, girls? And I think that it's kind of fun, that sounds so bad, but sometimes it's kind of fun to like throw in those dead one-liners that make everyone else feel uncomfortable.
I have a story about that. You guys, this just happened this weekend. And I don't know if I did the right thing or not.
Oh, that's what makes it better.
Amelia is going to Washington, D.C. So first of all, I'm trying to wipe my eyes because Lindsay has me in tears over here.
But I'm sorry.
Amelia is filling out this form and it's asking for mom's phone number and dad's phone number. And she gets to dad's phone number and she looks at me and she gives me a look. And my sense of humor is, well, I go, well, he dead. And she goes, yeah. So she writes deceased. And then she wrote his phone number.
In case you want to call him.
And I need to take a picture of that form because that is so special to me. But I was like, God, Crystal, you need to be a grown ass, mature adult woman and not let your daughter do that. But she wrote it in. Like, she was like, I said, he dead. And she just looks at me. She goes, yeah, he is. And it's, she just decided to write in deceased and I let her go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. No, I think there's definitely a place that, you know, like I get to use the word my husband's plural. Like that's not a sentence that like, I just find it comical that I am like, oh, my husbands have always said that about me. Then I'm terrible at loading the dishwasher. They say I put it all in wrong. Both my husbands. Like, it's like, you know, they are both present to me. So it's just, yeah, finding ways to make other people feel awkward has been, I've got that. You had Jamie on one of your podcasts.
Yes.
I picked up that tip from her. Yeah. The first time she came out to one of my birthday party, which we did the door painting things.
Yeah.
And all the girls are there and somebody said, you know, oh, don't let the wine spill on your door sign. That would be just the worst thing that can happen. And she's like, eh, actually, or your husband dying in their front yard, that'd be the worst thing. And then everyone's silent, you know, and she's like, it's okay. And I go, I had to tell him, it's okay. You guys can laugh.
People don't get us.
No.
And I have found myself like wanting, like, I love all the people in my life, like all of them, but the people that I have the most fun with are my widow friends. They're my people now because they just get it. Mm-hmm. And you can say all like I can say to Allie, like, it's so weird being in a relationship with someone when I'm married. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing weirder than that feeling in my mind right now, right?
Totally.
So Lindsay, do you want to kind of share meeting John?
Yeah, I think it's a good transition. So as you know, Justin tried to get me on Match before he was even gone. So I went on Match and actually met one guy first, and he was really nice, you know, went out with it or talked for a while first. Then I went out with him. I was like, oh goodness, like this isn't going to work. Which he was still really nice, but I could tell it wasn't the one. But I did have my first kiss with him, even though I knew he wasn't the one. But there was something I had to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh my gosh, do I even know how to kiss someone else? Like, I just need to do it. And then I felt like leaving that date, like I remember telling myself, like, Stella got her groove back. I remember saying that to myself, like, I'm ready. I can do this. Like, this isn't terrible. Even though, like, I felt kind of bad. I totally used him to get over, right? And to see if I was okay. So then went on a date with John, which he's a pilot. So he likes to remind me that he was only in town for like a week and he had like lots of different dates going on. So I should feel really good that I'm the one that, you know, which is really funny. So when I meet John, we talked a ton, and it was kind of the exact same feeling of just, you know, you just don't want to leave, that I had a lot with Justin. And we quickly, as my dad would say, start playing house again. And I think that, like, you know, being the age I was and knowing what we wanted and us both being older, like, we didn't really take our time. We both knew quickly that we wanted to get married, and John doesn't have any kids. And mm-hmm. so I wanted more kids. Justin actually wanted more kids too. So that was something that I think just kind of moved us along. I remember on our fourth date though, he's like, yeah, so you're a widow. You never told me like how long ago that your husband passed. I'm like, oh yeah, that probably is. How long do you think it's been? And he's like, oh, like a year, you know, that magic year that everyone thinks that then you're ready.
Right.
Yeah. And then you're okay. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it's a good thing he's sitting down. 3 months. It's been 3 months. And he's like, oh, are you okay? Are you sure? Like, you know, like then I'm all of a sudden a little bit more fragile. And I was ready. And I don't know. I think everyone knows when they're ready. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if you're not sure if you're ready, I think like just getting your toes wet. Because mm-hmm. you'll know quickly if you're not ready. Like,
right.
As you start to talk to other people and start to, you know, find, you know, see, I don't know, but yeah,
live
I
life. Knew,
yeah. Right?
Live life, because it's so dark. Like you said, like the hours between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. are long and lonely. Mm-hmm. And when you know, like with Eric and I, like I knew too, mm-hmm. you know, from 2019, the minute he was diagnosed, I knew what my outcome was going to be. So our journey was so different because of like, we had hope. We were like hoping things would change, but it didn't change his genetic mutations. Like those weren't going to change.
Right.
And that outcome was there. So we prepared from 2019 until 2021 when he passed away.
Yep. Hope for the best, prepare right. for the worst. We right. said that a lot.
We did too. And so, but you knew. And so like we had a chance to like, Eric was trying to marry me off when he was still alive too. It's the same thing.
Yes.
So you just know when you're ready.
Right. And I think that's why 3 months didn't seem like I knew what Justin wanted for me and our family. And there was, you know, I heard you talk about like having people see you out on a date or what are other people going to think? There was that. But then it brought me back to like, no, Justin and I'm so thankful we were able to talk about it. Like, mm-hmm. and I know that this is what he wanted for me too. So that really made me feel confident in it. However, I didn't necessarily tell my family I was dating until mm-hmm. there was someone, you know, to talk about. I'd always text one of my girlfriends, Christina and Katie, I think, and tell them where I was going. You know, those serial killers are always out there. So you got to do that.
They are.
But yeah, so yeah, we got married and actually have two kids now together. So there are four, which is nuts. So I would advise stopping at three, but you know, love them all. But right now we're in the thick of it. Two that don't walk. I'm like, oh, so, but they are a true blessing. So I don't know, part of it too, just, it feels like, you know, bringing new life into the world is like, symbolic as it is, this is, you know, it, not that it gives Justin's like more purpose. I don't know. It's like weird how my head makes sense of it is that having these two kids, I see they wouldn't be here. You know, like again, we're lucky.
Right.
It comes back to that.
That's so cool, Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we're still really close to Justin's family and like holidays. And I think when you get married, like that was a piece that I was like, how is this going to work? We got three grandmas, we got three grandpas, you know, but it does work. And a widow that I met really early on, Craig, he's now married too. But that was a question I first asked him when I started dating. I'm like, how do you do it? Like how, because he was in a relationship, dating someone too. And how do you do the holidays with your kids and, you know, your deceased wife's family? And he's like, everyone just comes together. Everyone's hearts can handle more. Like mm-hmm. there's never, you know, it's just, they can handle it all. And you really can, like you find a way to include everyone. And that's something John's really good at, is just always reaching out to Justin's family too. I think that, you know, he's connected to them. If there's a picture of the kids, like, he'll always make sure that he includes them and making sure that they know the games of the basketball games and everything too. So yeah, it's been good.
That's really cool. I love that you mentioned, you know, there's always room in your heart for more, right? Because mm-hmm. when it seems so hard and so impossible, you realize that I can do more. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, Ali has said so many times is like, this is so hard. But lately what she's been saying is like, you know, this is so hard, but I can freaking do it. Like, I've been doing yeah. it for 18 months. And I'm so fucking good at it now.
Yes.
And like, yeah, I'm so inspired by you, Ali, saying that every day. And as I am work, you know, with my relationship, when you get into a relationship post widowhood, it switches from like I need to be in a relationship. Cause you know, when you're younger, you're in your 20s, you're like, oh, I should get married. And you know, this is what I should be doing too. Like, I want to, but I also know what I want so much more. And I think this widowhood journey has been interesting because you go into another relationship, and McLovin is the first person I dated post Eric. But I know exactly what I want every day, inspired by the lady in pink over here.
Can I ask you a question about your relationship?
Sure.
Okay. How do they compare, Eric and McLovin? Like,
oh, God.
Because I would say that Justin and John are different. Do you feel like they're similar, or do you feel like, I don't know. It's just interesting to me. I've thought about, you know, what you looked at, what the type of guy that I was looking for at 26 or 8 years old right. versus 38.
Eric and McLovin are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Like in the way they look.
Okay.
So Eric is tall, dark haired, handsome, stunning. I mean, you guys know, I'll spare you the details. You know how attracted I was to Eric. McLovin is very attractive too. He's very different. And so I can compare that a little bit. Cause I'm like,
yeah,
I don't understand like why my eye went there, but the way they treat me is very similar.
The way they treat
and
me.
So like McLovin is very kind to me. He's very doting. He's very respectful. He sounds a lot like John, you know, just being cognizant yes. of everything. And, you know, I'm sure my in-laws listen. And so they're hearing all of this through my podcast, but he's very respectful of them too. And I've told him, I said, you know, I want to be very cautious of them and make sure that they know that they are always my in-laws. Like that's just who they are. And they're always my kids' grandparents. And that's always who they are. And even with my own family, like I'm a very private person. So despite this podcast, I am super private. So my dad and stepmom found out about McLovin through the podcast.
Oops.
You know what? I'm okay with that. Most people did. That was my way of
yeah.
putting I mean, that out
he's
there.
Okay. It's okay. Easy. Yeah. Yeah. Easy.
It was.
You didn't have to call anyone. Uh-huh.
But they're so respectful of me. And you're right about family. They just wanted to take care of me so bad. I pushed them so far away. Mm-hmm. And so having this podcast was helpful for them to hear how I was doing. And they knew when to interject. Like, I pushed everyone who wanted to help me away. But, you know, when I needed them, oh, my gosh, they were always there in a heartbeat. But that's how they found out about McLovin was through the podcast. And he's even very respectful of them. Like, he's not like, well, you know, will I meet your family soon? He's just like, whatever, whenever, you know, yeah. your journey. I'm on it.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
No, I think it's all sweet. I'm just listening.
Yeah. So anyways, Allie's laughing because I was really laying into her on the way down here about something that I had a disagreement with McLovin about. And she goes, okay. So at the end, she goes, do you want my advice? I said, of course I do. And she goes, maybe you should just tell him that.
Everything you just told me.
Well, I specifically said he can't read your mind. And so maybe if you told him what you want, he would do it. And if he doesn't, he can go lick a lollipop, right?
Lick it like a lollipop should be licked.
I'm sorry. I only know the hip hop, not the words.
She can just dance to it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Speaking of dance, Lindsay, you're going to love this, I think. But Allie, in our adventures this week, we were talking about the new Miley Cyrus song, Flowers.
Yeah. Have you heard it?
No, we're real into Itsy Bitsy Spider. Right
now. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure Richard will play it later. We can have a dance party in the studio. But it's a great song about being strong, independent women. And so Allie and I were getting dressed and ready to go out Thursday night. And we were just joking. And I said something. I was like, I don't know, Al. I mean, I could buy myself flowers. And she goes, yeah.
I can write my name in the sand.
Yeah.
I told you to do that, right? Buy yourself flowers.
You did.
That was one of my things.
Lindsay would always tell me to buy fresh flowers. Uh-huh. And we saw you and I did buy fresh flowers.
You did.
Sunflowers always remind me of Lindsay. Uh-huh. It's the color. It's like bright yellow.
She's wearing
Lindsay
yellow.
Is a yellow person. Just bright and sunshine.
Thank you. No, that was the thing I would do. Justin would always buy me flowers the last day of school. Aww. And so
Lindsay is a kindergartner teacher.
Yep. Yes. And so I bought myself flowers and I sent them to school. And I was like, it was things like that I was like, well, I don't need to be sad. I can buy myself flowers, you know? And I just, you know, found a way to make it still happen. Mm-hmm. So
it is so fun to see how strong and independent you can be. Mm-hmm. As I was talking through that, you know, like I don't need to be in a relationship. I don't need someone to buy me flowers. I don't need someone to write my name in the sand. I don't need someone to listen to me.
To hold my hand. I can hold my own hand.
Waffle or pancake.
Right.
So you don't need that when you're, I guess when I'm in my 40s, it's almost like, okay, I want to, mm-hmm. I want to versus need to. And so it's kind of fun to be in a relationship where I want to see McLovin. You know, I want to do things. If you're listening, McLovin, I do not want to go out for breakfast.
There you go.
You're gonna kill me for that, but you've been told. That's hilarious. I'll start communicating with him via the podcast. Yeah. That'd be an interesting swing for the podcast. It's just me and McLovin's relationship.
Oh my goodness.
Via the podcast. No, that's not what it's
about. I think that is very true though. That was another thing I remember telling you, like things you think you can't do, make an intention to like go do it. So mm-hmm. I needed to know that I can go on a trip by myself. I remember just
with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Driving to Kansas City was my first. And then we went to SeaWorld. And I know my mom was, she's like, you got to hold on to those kids. And what about the car seats? And I'm like, I need to do this what if I just came with you? It'll be fine. I'm doing this for me. Like, this isn't like because I'm trying to go give my kids experiences, mm-hmm. which was an extra bonus. But at the same time, I needed to know that I could go to a new place and come home with both kids.
Right. Alive.
Alive.
Right.
True.
We should talk about our mothers because I would talk to Lindsay a lot about this. When you lose your spouse and you need more help because you're a single parent and you're trying to do it all, your mother kind of swoops in and it's like she needs to be helped. You know, she is needed again.
Yes.
And so I remember talking to Lindsay about boundaries and all that jazz. My mother is moving in the neighborhood. Did I tell
you? Yes. Are you sure you had that boundary conversation?
She didn't listen. Roxanne.
No,
Roxanne does what she wants.
Uh-huh. I love my mom dearly.
I do too.
If she ever hears this, same thing. Again, they just want to fix. They want to
help.
We're their babies mm-hmm. forever. Yes. My kids are going to be my babies forever. If they lost, you know, their spouse, I would want to go do everything for them. Absolutely. But I remember I made a contract. I typed up a contract that sat my parents both down and I read it to them of like, and I need you to sign this. And I haven't decided if it needs notarized or not yet. And I like the whole, like it was legit a contract about boundaries. And mm-hmm. I love you. It had the best of intentions, but it was also to tell them like, you're helping me more by letting me do some things on my own. Because I need to know I can do it. Because right now I really don't feel like I can. So I need to do it. And I will ask for help. And then do come help me. Please.
Right.
But yeah, I think that was something that like really helped our relationship too. And, you know, I still every day use my mom. Maternity leave. I think I hang out with her the most.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I didn't have that. So I had the complete opposite. I had no mom swooping in trying to save the day mm-hmm. at all. I think I'm happy about that. I wouldn't have wanted that. That would have been really hard for me.
It definitely hurt at first, the relationship with my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, we definitely struggled that first year of her wanting to be a grandma, mm-hmm. but also kind of having to take on a parent role because mm-hmm. she would help so much and be, you know, she would have to discipline the boys. And it just kind of, it was hard for her. It was hard for me. She wanted to help. She wanted to fix. There was no fix in the world.
Nope. That hole is dug and it is there permanently.
And it was really hard for her. I think she still struggles with that mm-hmm. to try to make me happy. And it's like,
right.
It's like nothing is going to make me the way I was before.
Nothing's going to fill that hole.
Nothing. Ever. But things are better, way better now. We've had multiple conversations on it. I didn't make a contract.
You didn't write up a contract.
Shut up. I can write a mean contract if you need me to write one up.
I'm good. I love her. I don't know what I would do without her, but
she's amazing.
She is amazing. And she would do anything notch. For you two too. Mm-hmm. She like loves to help all of us, but, yeah, I don't know. I just remember talking to Lindsay a lot about that and kind of laughing a little, you know, making jokes.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. We can relate for sure.
Uh-huh.
I love that. I love that you guys, that I think we all did this too. We all took our kids on a trip to prove yes. that we could do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't proof. To me, it wasn't like to prove like, haha. It was like, okay, Crystal, you got to do this. You got to pull yourself up.
Yeah.
And you're a strong, independent woman. Like you can take care of this. You ran your entire department. You got through COVID. Mm-hmm. You nursed your dead husband. You buried him. You had a funeral. Like,
yeah. That was the one thing when I was rereading my Caring Bridge post, like, it's funny because you're like, that was me? Man, this chick really has it together.
Yeah.
And then you don't feel like mm-hmm. when you're going through it. I guess afterwards you look back at yourself and we really were very strong. I mean, when I didn't watch your journey, but mm-hmm. I watched Allie and she was so strong through it all.
Show me your muscles, baby.
No, I don't have any.
You are strong.
But yeah, posting your adorable pictures. That's her go-to. Allie and her adorable pictures. God. I need next family photo shoot. I need to be like, come dress me. Where are we going? What's our theme?
Your pictures are always so cute.
Thank you.
I tell people the best advice. People never want to spend money on pictures and they probably think I'm ridiculous. But like, I would give anything for more pictures with Ross. Yep. And so like, mm-hmm. I will continue to this day to take pictures with my kids because it's just, you just never know.
Yeah.
It's worth way more than money to me.
I'd give anything for more pictures of Eric. I want pictures of him. I mean, I want videos too, but I want pictures of him today. Like, I wish that I could find pictures. I just want him in a picture because I want him back in so many ways.
What signs do you get? Do you still get any signs? Do you dream about Justin?
I don't. That's something that I really never, I've maybe had like one or two, but I've really never had a lot of dreams. The girls have. Lucy would wake up sometimes. She's like, I dreamt about Daddy. He has long curly hair now, which is really funny because if you see high school and college, some soccer pictures of him, he has like a fro of curly blonde hair.
Sweet.
So yeah. So, I mean, I don't think she knew that. So for her to, you know, share that, it definitely was like, I think you really did see Daddy, you know?
Yeah.
So the girls have had some pictures. We've always said butterflies and I don't know that I feel, I don't know, this is going to be maybe contradictory to me. Like, I feel like I had to make something that was a sign. Like, we decided the butterflies were going to be our sign. Mm. And so we decided that early on. And so now when we see them, that's Daddy. And there wasn't nothing else really that I feel like daily that I see or weekly or monthly or any big times where I'm like, that was you. I mean, I see the signs in Molly, our daughter, and then in Ben, John and I's new boy. We now have a boy in the family. John's very happy not to be the only boy, him and the dog. Now we have Ben. So I definitely see it in the two little kids. I probably see him the most.
Oh, wow.
That's so interesting.
That's so sweet.
What has been the hardest thing about keeping? So you're 4 years out now?
Three years.
What's the hardest thing about keeping Justin alive?
You know, John does a good job too of like
being, you know, when we go to soccer, be like, this was my favorite sport. You know, your daddy really loves soccer too. Like, mm-hmm. so props to him for, you know, finding ways too. And Father's Day, to be honest, ladies, nothing is worse than like widow guilt. So last Father's Day, I thought about my own dad. I thought about John. I forgot Justin. And widow's guilt was terrible. But then John says, now we're going to go by the cemetery. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. I didn't even think about that. And I felt so bad for forgetting. But the fact that he remembered meant a lot. So what was the original question?
What's the hardest thing about keeping Justin alive as you move forward?
Yeah. We have a lot in our house. Like I did a lot with his handwriting. And I think just those daily visual things around like prompt conversations. We have a dinner prayer that he said, which I don't even, his family has done it, but it's essentially like a bunch of different prayers jumbled together. So it's like, so I actually had that printed and it's in our little dinette on like a piece of wood. So we read that it's called Daddy's Dinner Prayer. So that happens. We read that a lot. And that's one way. Talking about sports as the kids grow up. When they have favorites of things, and it was Justin's too, just mentioning like, mm-hmm. oh, daddy loved this too. And the girls, it's funny, I don't know if your kids do this, but sometimes they have memories that I know aren't true.
Yes, all the time.
On the reg.
Yes, all the time.
And they're like, you know, daddy and I, we would park here, right here. This is our store we'd go to. I'm like, this store opened last week, so there's no way this was your store, but okay. And we just go with it. Uh-huh. So I feel like there's a lot of that, but we just, you know, I'm like, oh, did you? Like, yeah, what'd you guys get here? You know, we go with whatever stories they make up about him. And I think that's their little way of keeping him alive too. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So which is super sweet. They actually both have urns, which I'm sure, you know, they go to school and talk about, well, I played with daddy in their urn. That's not normal first grade conversation, but house, it's normal.
Yeah. I'm never going to forget that picture you sent of Lucy doing her homework with her urn. Yes.
Normal, right? I just wanted daddy to do math with me today. Okay.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Yeah, they're these cute little urns that we got for him. And yeah, he's been lost actually before in the house.
Oh, no.
Because they'd play with him and then they'd be down in the toy room and then they'd be like, where did daddy go? Like, I don't know. And so we try to keep him just in their rooms, not play throughout the house.
Oh my gosh. I worry that the further we get out, like we talk about Eric all the time, like we talk about daddy. But the further we get out, as they're younger, their minds are developing. Mm-hmm. Like, does Eric get further away from the front of what's in front of them because they're just developing and learning new things and experiencing new things? And does he start to move further back despite all of the stuff that we talk about daily? Like, all the pictures of Eric are still up. Everything we do, like 7 to 45 times a day, we mention him. But do the memories, like you said, like the real memories stay?
And the pictures are like getting married again. That has made it harder to have all the pictures up, right? Because mm-hmm. now we have a new family picture that mm-hmm. we take. And so we have some pictures, obviously, in their rooms and stuff. But definitely, you know, it's a new family living in the house because we're a new family. And so that piece, I feel like, I think it's okay. It just kind of happened naturally. And it's nothing that they actually still have his huge, you know, those pictures they have for the funeral, like yep. next to.
We have them in our rooms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They have them in their rooms. Mm-hmm. So they can go kiss daddy. It's actually mm-hmm. in their closet now, like a little, they have like little pillows down there. So it's a little spot. And Lucy's told me she sleeps in there sometimes. And then I was getting a little worried. I'm like, it's not sleep in our closet all the time, but she likes to sleep with daddy sometimes, which is super sweet. So I think, you know, it's harder, I would say, getting remarried to have that those daily interactions. But I also think for the kids, like, I think they're going to continually like mourn as they go through next stages. Like, you know, a daddy-daughter dance comes up or you're going to prom or, you know, and all their other friends, you know, it's just like little reminders come up. I think I noticed our daughter, Lucy, she's in first grade. The girls both call John, Daddy John, and they've always called Justin now to kind of distinguish Heaven Daddy. And sometimes we call John Land Daddy and Heaven Daddy.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because when Lucy is around her friends or her peers, she only calls John dad, but she doesn't call John dad at home. She calls him John or Daddy John. So I think that need to fit in and that need to like have what everyone else has and is there, which I think it's okay, but it's her way of, you know, being like everyone else, I guess. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It is.
Gus is also in first grade. Mm-hmm. And I think he also desires to be like everybody else, because when you ask him questions, he'll like, what do you want to be when you grow up? He had to do a presentation on what he wanted to be when he grew up. His answer was to be normal, to be like everybody else, because he knows he's different.
Yeah.
And it breaks your mommy heart, but he's also adapting so well. It's like, I'm so proud of him. Like the things that he does, that's just fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And I think following our children's lead has definitely gotten me through a lot, because I can't imagine people going through it when they don't have kids to like, I mean, those kids, like you said it on one of your podcasts, like they get you through for sure.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
Every day.
I had some alone time with my oldest this weekend, and we were talking about some stuff that was just like life stuff. But I was telling her, again, motivated by you, Allie, I was telling her that she got me through. Like, she got me out of bed every morning, her and her brother and her sister. And I was really honest with her about how much she's 13, so she's starting to grow up. And I just want her to, you know, like, I just want her to understand how important she is to our family as a person in this community, in her school. Like, you are a very important person, you know, because you can get lost when you're 13 and in friendships and things. And I said, you're the strength that you show every day, and the humility and the ability to support mama and your brother and your sister and your friends. You're strong, and I'm so proud of you. We were just going through that. But I really opened up with saying, you and your brother and sister are what got me through the last year. Because it's no lie to them how that first year was for me. Like, they know. Yeah. And they're old enough to know. Like, they were old enough to connect the dots. Right.
Mm-hmm. And having younger kids, I think, and this is another, it was hard to find time to grieve, I think. And so I remember telling you too, Allie, like, when Father's Day would come around, or I knew certain days were going to be hard, like, I'd call my parents and I'd say, can you take the kids today? Like, I'm making a point to grieve. Like, I had to make plans to grieve, like, and take the kids so I can just cry on the couch all day. And that's what I needed to do. Because when you have little kids, you can't necessarily just go cry in a closet for the next 30 minutes.
No, they come.
Yes. And then it's like, and them being littler, it's they don't quite understand the tears when it's not, you know, like the ouchie isn't right in front of you.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that was another really big thing that I did that really helped me, is making time to grieve and making plans on those terrible days. Like, always have a plan. That was another thing. Like, I knew the year. Oh, God. I knew that my 1 year, I think it was our anniversary, actually, Justin and I's anniversary was coming up. And I didn't want to be alone, and I needed to make a plan. So I scheduled a Botox party, which is really comical because I faint when I get my blood drawn. Like, I'm terrible with needles. Yes. Like, I'm so bad. Like, I've literally tried to make it to the car and ended up in a wheelchair on a different floor last time I got my blood drawn. My mom had to pick me up. Like, I'm bad with needles. And so, yeah, a Botox party made complete sense, which also ended with me nearly fainting. And then the lady, like, you can't lay down because your Botox will shift. And I'm like, I'm going to go down and I'm not done. And so she like had to finish my face. It was very bad. But I made a plan and I had friends over and we had a Botox party, and it was probably better than me just not having a plan and then feeling sad. And then it was just so much anxiety leading up to those big dates. Mm-hmm. But knowing that I had a plan, like, just made it better.
Yes.
Even if
I'm all about those plans.
Yeah. It doesn't, I make the plans. It doesn't change me. Like, I made plans and like, I still got like Father's Day for me. That's a real crotch punch. Like, no matter what, like, I'm dreading it already. And I'm like, it's in June. Crystal, why are you thinking about this? Get over it. But it's just, I think it's the kid. I think it's my kids. I think it's the impact on them. Like, Christmas is not about a singular person. And mm-hmm. like Mother's Day, I can deal with. It just seems like Father's Day, for some reason, is that one that's a tough one.
I think it's hard too, because we know what our kids are missing. It's like a reminder for us that they are missing something. Mm-hmm. And that relationship. And that is one thing, like, John is amazing. I told him when I was coming here, I was like, oh my God, what if I say something you don't like? He's like, I just won't listen to it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh, I love John.
He's like, I'm like, I guess that's pretty simple. But, you know, as much as through it all, he's really like, you know, loved the girls and embraced them. There's something to be said, like, for when they're yours, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you watched Allie go through heart surgery, you went through, mm-hmm. You know, all these ups and downs when they're growing and developing, and he wasn't there for that. And so I think that Father's Day is still hard because it's not, you know, it's not Justin. Mm-hmm. They're the dad that went through all those things with them. And I think that it's irreplaceable.
It is.
I think they're developing new memories and new things with John, but that beginning can't be replaced. So I think that's what makes Father's Day hard for me too. This, even though I forgot it one year.
You know what? It happens. It happens. You had a lot going on. I have constantly been inspired by you. Like, every time we talk, I have a new takeaway. I have a new perspective. I have a new thought. I leave feeling better. You are an amazing woman.
You are.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are both equally amazing. So.
We're a real shit show most of the time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I made you all, like, I'm like, I'm only coming if we can wear sweatpants. And really,
I love
true
sweatpants.
Life. Because let's be honest, putting on real pants, and I have a stocking cap on because I'm not sure the last time I washed my hair. But
so Lindsay says, I'll come if you guys wear sweatpants. And
she's
Allie's
wearing,
like,
jeans, by the way.
I'm wearing sweatpants.
Pants with buttons is very different than sweatpants.
Allie said, okay. And I said, I'll try. And I feel like I don't have any makeup on. I have not washed my hair in significant number of days. I do have jeans on, though. And representing big night tonight, Chiefs. It's a huge game, so I really couldn't go out without my Chiefs shirt on today.
You look great.
Well, so do you. You guys all look great.
Thank you.
Sweats or not. You know I can't show up wearing sweats.
I thought maybe you would, but I was wrong.
Have you ever seen me wear sweats?
Yes, I have.
When?
At your house, many times.
Well, at home.
Yes, this is like a home. This is like our second home.
I do. I do wear sweats at home. I got some new shorts this weekend, so I'm on a shopping, like, I gotta stop shopping.
Lindsay, you also have told me many times about spending money when you're grieving.
Oh God.
It's like retail therapy.
Yeah, totally.
We get it.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I learned that from Jamie. Jamie bought a house. So have you gone?
I haven't got a house yet.
No.
I'm good.
I keep my purchases small.
Yeah. No, that was the best. Like, Jamie and I are talking about, like, cause you know, you've been through the worst. And so, like, spending a ton of money, like, what's the worst thing gonna happen? You're not gonna have any money. Ooh, that's fine. That doesn't seem that terrible, right? You've already been through
it. I'm scared. I'm broke.
I've lost my husband. It's fine. I've been through worse. So I remember the day she called me. She's like, oh, I bought a house today. I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. The lady, like, wanted to show me around. I'm like, no. I'll just take this one. Where do I sign? And it was like the easiest sell for her ever.
Oh my gosh.
This is the best story yet. Jamie gave me a lot of great advice too.
Oh, so, yeah. She's cool. I got to meet her first time in studio. I loved that interaction.
Like, yeah,
she
left
a
awesome.
Lasting impact on me, too.
For
I love
sure.
All of our guests are cool.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. You can't be a part of the Hot Widows Club podcast if you're not cool. Speaking of, our dear widower, Joe, needs a little bit of love. So if you guys can just share some love and energy towards Joe, he needs it right now. So send up your prayers, our thoughts, and in our widow tribe here.
Thinking of you, Joe.
Yeah, we need to have him back on again.
Mm-hmm. Is that the male?
Our male. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our widower.
Yes, whose wife died very suddenly.
Yes. Okay. 15 years ago.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed listening. I caught up on everything. I was redoing a room and painting and listening to you guys. So I enjoyed it.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah.
Lindsay also got me into wallpaper.
Oh, yeah. Addicting. I think she...
I'm a busybody. So there's
you are.
Been many times John comes home, he's like, this is, you redid the whole, you wallpapered this room too?
Yeah.
So it's the peel and the stick on from Amazon. I mean, you can, yeah. And if you don't like it, you can change it.
Change it. Yeah. Right.
It's fine. So have you wallpapered? Can't do it.
What?
Have you wallpapered?
So in my bedroom,
yes.
I did the grass, but now I've been thinking about doing some more wallpaper.
Yeah. It's super addicting.
Yeah. Just to like look at it. And
yeah. It's pretty.
Out.
You should do like, even your laundry rooms. That's my favorite.
Yes.
I put something super girly and bright in there. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about that too.
Yeah.
In my laundry
room. My friend just did pufferfish. She has the keenest eye for design. And you would never think pufferfish would look cute on wallpaper. But shout out to you, Lori, because girlfriend knows what's up. And she has
pufferfish?
Yes.
Oh.
It is so cute. It's stunning. It's so classy.
Where does she have it?
In a bathroom.
Fun.
She has it in like cubbies. And so she has it on the walls and the cubbies.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. She has such a keen eye for design. I have none. So my sisters will laugh. Like if they heard me say I'm painting, they'd be like, oh my God. Like someone take the paintbrush from her because I'm like, just slap it on there.
Oh, that's so mean.
It looks fine.
John had to fix it all. Yeah. When he got home and I was like, there's like all these bumps in it, but I just kept going. He's like, ugh, I'm gonna have to sand all that. And then yeah. He's like, yeah. But he fixed it for me. He always gets it done. Cleans up my messes.
Good.
What a guy.
I love yes. that. All right, guys. Well, it's probably time for us to sign off from the Hot Widows Club podcast yeah. tonight. So
thank
if
you,
anyone
Lindsay.
Has questions for Lindsay, please check out our socials at Facebook and Instagram, Hot yep. Widows Club Podcast. Or you can email us at hotwidowsclubpodcast@gmail.com. Lindsay, any closing Perfect. Comments? Any words
Advice?
Of wisdom for our widow and widowers
just,
out
just
there?
Just remember, you are lucky. I think that's, I mean, like as I was rereading everything, that was the main thing that really stuck out to me from Justin. Just never consider yourself unlucky because you have a lot of things to be thankful for.
Awesome. I
love We're that. Amazing. Thank you, Lindsay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, Allie.
What?
It's almost our 1 year anniversary of recording.
I know.
We have been at this for a year now.
I can't believe it. I can't believe we have listeners.
I can't
How many do you guys, how do you know how many you have?
There's
the
like
internet.
A, you have it.
I tried to find that out. I couldn't find it.
It's like a million, so.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So anyways, thank you, listeners. Keep listening. Keep sharing this with, I just had some other day reach out and say, hey, I have someone who's a new widow. Can I share your podcast? And I was absolutely, please do. So yeah. keep sharing it with those who need to hear our messages.
Yeah. And keep listening. We'll get some more advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every day.
Yeah.
From Crystal over here.
From Allie, my dear sweet beauty in her pink sweatsuit.
Okay.
Love you guys. Good night.
Good night.